Good morning. 9:40 a.m. on the 12th. Yeah, I missed a day. It's a little bummed. I was a lot bummed, actually. It was one of those days. It was a Monday, which means therapy in the morning. But it was also a dental day for my wife. So I had to drop her off before my therapy. Went to my therapy, got groceries. 18-minute first mile. Not bad. Got groceries, got home, got the groceries taken care of. Went back to the dentist to pick her up. And had to kind of watch her for a couple hours to make sure she wasn't going to do anything rash while still drugged. Halcyon and Vicodin is a wonderful combination, but not something you want to be left alone at. So by the time we got her taken care of, lunch taken care of, it was time to go pick up kids. So I went to pick up kids and then spent the rest of the day struggling with trying to get a haircut for the younger daughter, who turned out not to need a haircut after all. I spent over an hour trying to get a haircut and then couldn't because the waiting lines were too long. Tedious in the extreme. So yeah, that was kind of a pain. And then what? Oh, then it was a long night. It was a long evening. The play rehearsal started at 5:45 instead of 6. It usually starts 7 because they had hair and makeup and costume. So they got to do that again tonight. Another trip to the grocery store at the end of the day. So it was a long, chore-filled, drudge-ridden day that didn't involve my walking. There just wasn't an hour that I could call my own all day yesterday. So, marching through March with a little bit of a break. See if we can keep it to just one. It snowed last night. The footing under the sidewalks is a bit treacherous in places. It's not terribly cold. There's actually water standing. So it's like 28, 30, 30, 32, something in there. The ground is warm enough that, for the most part, it's not sticking. It's not sticking on the roads. It's only stuck a couple places on sidewalks. But a picture this morning shows the difference between 2 days ago and today. Everything is covered again. Won't last long, but it's one of those things. It's also foggy. I'm wearing my fleece hood today. I don't know if that's really necessary, but it looked cold and raw out, so I dressed snugly today. So, yeah, because yesterday I didn't have any time to me, I didn't get any writing done. I had to get some chores cleaned up. I did take care of business, so that was okay. So I changed up my Pandora stations. That's one of the reasons I'm only doing 18-minute miles. I'm not getting the bumpa 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 songs. Been listening to Gogol Bordello and the bands that Pandora believes are related, which is quite an interesting collection, including a lot of Flogging Molly, which is okay, but I don't, a lot of it is yelling and pounding, and I don't really care. there's a lot of interesting gypsy style violin bands, some odd collections, well, some odd selections that get included. The one that struck me most peculiar was the Decemberists' "The Mariner's Revenge" song, which kicked in yesterday afternoon, and I had the kids in the car, and they're going, "Why is this on the Gogo Bordello channel?" It's like, I don't know. So I've been listening to a lot of Dvochka. I also have the Krakow Klezmer Orchestra channel. I haven't listened too much to that. I may have to crank up the Klezmatics instead or something, I don't know. I'm trying to find music that will interest and yet still freak out the kids. They like the Pomplamoose channel. The Dresden Dolls channel is sort of old hat for them, so that wasn't very useful. But the Gogo Bordello it's got a lot of... I had some scroll nut zippers on the other day. It has a lot of Tom Waits. I'm not quite sure why Tom Waits, but perhaps because of the gravel voicey sound that Tom Waits has. And the lead singer of Gogo Bordello has one too. Oh, I can't tell if it's still snowing or if this is like freezing fog or something. It's almost totally overcast. There's little tiny patches of light. It almost could be blue sky showing through. But the sun is largely obscured. I won't say completely obscured because I can see a glow up behind the clouds up there, but kind of an interesting climate this morning, interesting weather we're having. So I started to say about the Gogo Bordello channel, it's giving me this interesting song phrases. Every once in a while I hear a phrase, it's like, oh, I should write that story. The one was the song from, I think it was a Gogo Bordello actually, was just the line was, "But it is all connected through the juicy part of town." Now the problem is that I don't really know if that's a Mondegreen, and I don't know if that's really what he says or if that's just what I heard. Either way, the juicy part of town strikes me as being quite intriguing. And there was the December song, and there was also another song this morning that made me think of shipwrecks. So how would he do a shipwreck in deep space? Because that's a famous space opera trope. We've got to be able to do something with that. I particularly like the Mariner's Revenge idea, where he finds out about him, tracks him down just as they're about to put a broadside in him, whale destroys both their ships, and swallows both of them. It's kind of cool. So we may use that idea. I don't know. I still have these characters floating around. Vorkel Kondor has evolved into from a very bitter kind of just soon shoot you as look at you kind of guy to not quite so much anymore. And Natalia Ruggieri has evolved into quite an interesting freighter pilot. Zoya Yusoko is continuing to deal with her leadership skills, working on new ways of getting people to work together. Monkpole. Oh, brush the snow off it. So there's these characters that are out there that are looking for a home. And I think they're all going to show up on Odin's Outpost at one point or another. Not quite sure what or how. But the key to that is to put my butt in the chair, to put my butt on my legs, put my feet on my treadmill, and start writing. The gangster story. God, today's the 12th. I need that out. I got all kinds of stuff that I need to get out, including some more audio work. I got two new stories that I said I'd turn around relatively quickly. That was a month ago.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard from Fred yet. What happened to the Tarzan story or the Blue Murder story that I set off to Crime City Central? So I may have stories out there. New stories, actually. It should be good. Which would be very good. Coming up on the Ides of March. We're also coming up on St. Patrick's Day. I think I post on the Ides of March. I should do a... Ides of March post. The Julius Caesar post for Ishmael on the 15th. That could be fun. Friends, spacers, officers, lend me your comms. Nah, that may be too gimmicky. There's an old Shaggy Dog story about Julius Caesar. It's about a guy who finds a strawberry. Huge strawberry. Biggest strawberry in the county. But the guy gets paranoid, the owner gets paranoid about the strawberry. He's worried that somebody's going to steal it. So the guy shows up at his door and he says, so I understand you've got a big strawberry. The guy says, yeah. Why? So she says, I'd like to see it. And she, no, it's not open to the public. It's my bird. And that's not the story. I have no idea. I can't remember what the story is, but the punchline is that the guy says, I'm here to appraise the berry, not to seize it. So, anyway. A lot of those Shaggy Dog stories. Let your pages do the walking through the yellow fingers. Come to praise the berry, not to seize it. I can't remember them all now. I used to have about 50 of them. And so I would tell those stories, honing my storyteller's skill. That's when I realized that for all the talk about stand-up comedians, honing, finding the right exact word. Because a joke isn't funny if you use the wrong word. Well, yeah, that's true. A joke isn't funny if you use the wrong word. But there are lots of words that will work just as well in a lot of cases. And really, agonizing over an inconsequential wrong word is really a waste. I think novelists get in the same bind. I think they get, oh, well, I have to find the right exact word. No, you don't. Find a word, put it in, get going. That's my problem. I've got to find a few thousand right words and put them on a piece of paper. Actually, put them in an electronic file and send them off to Scott. Boy. The problem today, and I realize it's probably more rationalization than excuse than anything, but I can barely see. I am so tired. By the time I got the kid home last night, it was 10:30. It was 11:30 before I went to sleep. And then cats woke me up at 4. I took the cats out of the bedroom and went to sleep on the couch till the alarm woke me at 6. I still feel like I could go back to bed. I'm just barely crawling here today. And it doesn't help that it's kind of a gray and foggy day. So there's no, ooh, it's bright, it's daylight. Wake up, get out of bed, drag a comb across your head. Well, yeah, that's about what happened too. I just drag a comb across my scalp. There's not enough hair there to comb. Except on my beard. My beard is doing so nicely. It's funny, I for years and years and years and years and years and years, I thought I couldn't grow a beard because it was just too patchy. It was just too nasty. And it was. But apparently I had to get to a certain age where growing a beard was actually going to work out. Because it's filled in nicely. It's I'm constantly reminded of Socrates, the bust of Socrates. Every time I look in the mirror, particularly when I take my glasses off and everything is a little bit foggier, but the head shape, the beard, it's a bust of Socrates. It's like, how cool is that? It's a lot better than looking in the mirror and seeing my grandfather, which is what I used to see. It's also a lot better than looking in the mirror and seeing the chicken neck. So, when I look at some of those pictures from a couple of years ago at BaltCon, before I grew the beard, I actually had lost a lot of weight. But I still think I looked sick. It looked like I'd been ill. Ah. Well, spring is still in the air. The snow is what they used to call, back in Maine, they'd call this the snow, poor man's fertilizer. Well, 18 minutes for both first and second mile, so that's a good consistent pace. That's good enough. I'll take it. 36 minutes for the half hour. 36 minutes for the half hour. 36 minutes for the 2 mile walk. So yeah, that was a good walk. I hope it was a good talk. This is the point in time where I take off my gloves and fumble in my pocket to try to get the recorder out so that I can try to see it. Yes. And so I can tell you that I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.